Ah, motherhood. One minute, you're mom of the year.
I love you, mommy.
Then the next? Not so much. From bath time to bullying, from potty training to puberty, parenting is full of challenges. But one thing is for certain, you are not alone. Welcome to Modern Mom Probs. I'm your host, author, mother, parenting expert, Tara Clark. Join me while we tackle today's modern mom problems. Welcome back to another episode of Modern Mom Probs. I am your host, Tara Clark. Today, we're talking about fostering civic engagement with our children. And I am joined by Rosie Rios. Rosie Rios is the chair of America 250, the official nonpartisan entity charged by Congress with planning the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Rosie served as the 43rd Treasurer of the United States with oversight over 4,000 employees and $5 billion budget. Her personal passion includes Empowerment 2026, a nonprofit that highlights historical women in positions of money and power. Rosie is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and was honored as one of USA Today's Women of the Century. Most recently, Rosie served on the Treasury Transition Team on behalf of President Joe Biden. Rosie Rios, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tara. So good to be here.
I'm thrilled to be chatting about this. So in 2026, the United States is going to mark their semi-quincentennial, which is the 250th anniversary of signing of the Declaration of Independence. And you, Rosie, are the chair of America 250. Tell us a little bit about the program.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again. I'm thrilled to be here as a mom and thrilled to be here as chair of America 250. And most importantly, to talk about one of our first big initiatives, America's Field Trip. So America 250 is a congressional commission that was formed by legislation in 2016. It is a group that includes 24 members, all appointed by the House and Senate majority and minority leaders. So of those 24 members, 16 are private citizens, and then 8 standing members of Congress, 4 from the Senate, 4 from the House, and equally divided, Democrat and Republican. So I say we're bipartisan, but we're also all partisan, nonpartisan. And we are charged specifically with planning the nation's commemoration and celebration of the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
That is so exciting. I was born in 1980, and I had just missed the, 1976, and I always felt jealous that I missed out on that because I just simply wasn't born yet. And so now at least we could be a part of the 250th anniversary.
Absolutely. Well, it's exciting. And for me, I say once in a lifetime is actually twice in a lifetime, because I do remember the bicentennial of 1976. I was 11 years old. I was in the Bay Area, outside of San Francisco, and I have extremely, extremely fond memories. So I do remember taking a field trip to the Oakland train station to see the Freedom Train that was bringing around the national treasures of our country. I remember seeing the tall ships coming through our black and white TV through the New York and Boston harbors. I still have my bicentennial quarter. 25 cents as an 11-year-old was my life savings, but I still have it. I carry it with me everywhere I go. I'll never forget that July 4th, 1976. It was a cloudy night, but those fireworks were never brighter. And I was never more proud to be an American. And I want my kids to feel the same way for this next one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You mentioned the word field trip, which leads me to my next question. So there is an initiative, a new contest called America's Field Trip. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. So we launched officially as a public entity last July 4th with something called America's Invitation, just to kind of give you some background. And America's Invitation is basically that, inviting the American public to take this journey with us. And it's really a video portal that people can submit their memories, their ideas, what America means to them, et cetera. And so we launched that in the great state of Wisconsin, nice purple state, at the Milwaukee Brewers against the Chicago Cubs game with Major League Baseball. So baseball, hot dogs, and apple pie, really kind of marking this three-year count-up to 2026. And we really wanted to start our next big initiative with this next generation of leadership. So America's Field Trip is a national student competition where three different grade levels, from third grade to 12th grade, so elementary, middle, and high school, can answer this one simple question of what does America mean to me? And the beauty of this, one, it's never been done before at this scale. And two, the award recipients get to choose from a whole host of backstage experiences, most of which have never been offered to the public before. So this is, you know, all expenses paid for the student and the chaperone. And this first round, which is a pilot program, is mostly a National Park Service experience. But there's also others, the Smithsonian, Library of Congress, et cetera. They're opening their vaults, if you will. Really, really exciting. And if you choose, for example, the Statue of Liberty, it's not just a tour of the Statue of Liberty. You may very well get to the crown or the torch. You may very well get to hear some of the secrets that the public wouldn't be able to have access to. So we want to make this kind of an unforgettable rediscovery of our national treasures, and starting with our national parks, starting with our kind of, you know, with the, what our archives and what our historic institutions already preserve and value. We think that's going to be something that these kids are going to be talking about for generations to come.
Absolutely. So I'll share a personal story with you. I started my own America's Field Trip with my son last year. So in August, he and I took the Amtrak train down to DC, and we toured all of DC, did the museums. Now, there's so many museums, we could have spent more time. But on the limited time that we had, we saw all of the important key points. He loved it. He just absolutely ate it up. So he couldn't get enough. And so we checked DC off of the list. And then next, we went to Boston. So only about 2 or 3 months later, we went to Boston. We did all of the walking tours. We saw so many graveyards. That was the one thing I wasn't prepared for, as many like historic graveyards as there was. And so we did all of the Boston stuff, and he loved that. And then in December, we went to Philadelphia. And we did the walking tours, and we did the bus tours, and he got the whole Philadelphia experience. And then we live just outside of New York City, so that's our home city. And many times, when you live in a city, you are not doing touristy stuff because you're just right. busy living your life. You know, you're yes. going to work, and you're, like I said, you're just living your life. And so you're not thinking like, oh, let me hop on a bus tour. Let me go walk around Lower Manhattan. Like, those aren't the things that people who live there typically tend to do. But we did, because then we were doing our own family field trip of the Eastern Seaboard. We knew that we had to tack on Manhattan onto that. And so we did. And my son loved that one as well, because we used to live in the Upper East Side. And so to get from the Upper East Side all the way down to the financial district is not something that you do all the time. And so
right.
we got to explore, you know, Chinatown and Little Italy. And he was like, this is the coolest. And I was like, I know. And so we'll be going to do that again, I think, in the spring. But when I got this idea of like, let's just go on these field trips, let's really discover our nation's history as a family, it just opened up so much for my son. And so he now still talks about our trips, and then he'll compare Boston to Philadelphia and, you know, who are the key players, and they were going back and forth between the cities to do what for, you know, for all of the Revolutionary War events. And it's just wild to see it through his eyes. And so what I'm so excited about with this project for America's Field Trip is that kids all across the country can be doing something similar to what my son and my family have been doing.
No, that's exactly right. And the beauty of America's Field Trip, I mean, this is a sea to shining sea experience. So absolutely, when you focus on the history of our country and you think about the main cities, right, whether it is Boston, Philadelphia, New York, you know, Charleston, you know, DC, there's so many great
cities. I need to get to Charleston. That has to be next on our list.
Absolutely. But the beauty of having the National Park Service and the Department of the Interior as part of our commission, along with the Smithsonian, National Archives, Library of Congress, et cetera, is that they have excursions all around the country, right? So you can take a candlelit tour of parts of Golden Gate Park as part of this, which I've never done. And I'm from the Bay Area, you know, or you know, you could visit Yellowstone, or even, you know, the National Archives has over 40 different centers around the country that include the presidential centers. So again, to think about this as absolutely an experience to rediscover our history and all of our history, right? The good, the bad, and the ugly of our history. But also really think about who we are as a country. I mean, if you look back at 1776, we were in our very formative stages in terms of how it compares to today, right? So if you think about it, you know, Alaska was Russia, right? Hawaii was its own kingdom. California, where I was born and raised, was Mexico. You know, Texas at one point had six different flags flying over it. We doubled our footprint with the Louisiana Purchase, you know, with France and Spain. And of course, interspersed through all of that are the indigenous and slave experiences. So, you know, our history, even though this is kind of one moment in time, right, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, look what had to happen in order for us to form these United States of America today. So kind of taking this kind of retrospective is really, really important, this retrospective journey, really thinking about how that influences who we are today and how these moments of connection perhaps can be nurtured. And then really think about this as a way to inspire the future. This is as much about the future as it is the past. And it's no accident that we're starting with this next generation of leadership. You know, especially, you know, as a mother myself, you know, we really want our kids to see their future, to feel their future, to connect with their future. We lost a lot with the pandemic. And how do we recapture what it means to feel all over again? And, you know, your brain synapses work very differently when you touch something. Mm-hmm. You know, it gets into that, what I call the third dimension of feeling. Mm-hmm. And so you'll notice that a lot of what we're doing actually are these kind of interactive experiences. So, you know, this is really an inflection point for our country. And more than anything, if we can galvanize and perhaps, you know, think about our influence for how to make this next generation hopeful and aspirational and hopefully, again, you know, a love of country and an appreciation for the history that we have, all of it, again, the good, the bad, and the ugly of our history. What does that look like? How do we heal, if you will, and how do we move forward from there?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. 1,000%, yes. A few months ago, we were in Arizona, and my son went hiking, and it's all he talks about, that one particular hike that we did in Arizona. And in this modern age where the kids are on their devices all the time, right? Like, we could be honest about it. The kids are on their phones quite a bit. And to have them put down their devices and take a hike in a state park, in a place that they've never been, even if it's local, because there are plenty of state parks, that are national parks that we have in this area that we haven't visited yet. Absolutely. And to hear my son still recount the story of how important it was that we had hiked this particular mountain that was a sacred land for the indigenous people in this area of Phoenix. It means so much to me, and I know it means so much to him, so much more than whatever they're doing on their devices at any given day, right? And so I think Absolutely. It's a big part of putting down their devices, getting outside, touching grass, spending time together as family, and creating those memories together.
Absolutely. And look, this is also about opportunity. I mean, they're, you know, growing up in the Bay Area, I was one of nine kids, and you know, our parks were our recreation. And not everyone has the ability to be able to travel in the way that they would like to. And so, you know, I was recently at the Boys and Girls Club in Harlem last week. And, you know, as I was talking about America's field trip with some of these kids, you know, first of all, I wish we had a Boys and Girls Club growing up.
Me too. But I really would have loved that.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. But two, you know, some of these kids, when I was talking about America's field trip and some of the experiences they could choose from, I would say that the one that they picked the most was the Statue of Liberty. Here you had kids living in New York who see the Statue of Liberty every day, but have never visited. I mean, it was touching. It was really, really touching. And you know, I couldn't help but hearken back to perhaps, you know, even for me growing up, you know, wow, yeah, there are a lot of things that we couldn't do, that we weren't able to do. Mm-hmm. So this is something, you know, again, anyone could submit, you know, again, as a U.S. student, and again, from grades 3 through 12, whether it's through your teacher or through your parents, anyone could submit this essay, this video, et cetera, about what America means to you. And you have the opportunity, you're on equal footing with anyone else to be able to have kind of this access, this democratization of access to these experiences, again, most of which have never been offered. So it is kind of exciting to think about it. I wish I would have had that opportunity growing up as a kid. And this is a pilot program, by the way, and because this has never happened before, this idea literally came in my sleep. And it comes from my own personal, right, my own personal aspiration of what I would have wanted as a kid. So to be able to open that door for other kids is really special. And we hope, again, because this has never happened before, that we can get this right, that, you know, if you can imagine, you know, thinking about this from the federal government's perspective, thinking about this and how to make these exciting, how to make these exclusive, how to make these accessible, and then being able to scale this, which we hope to do in September as a full year school effort, and grow this to 2026, and perhaps even keep it going after 2026 in some way. So, you know, this is really a real seminal moment for us as we, as a commission, think about how we can make a difference, you know, what those kind of high impact, large scale, galvanizing activities could be, right? And as a commission, you know, when we're thinking about how to think about these planning activities, you know, we really focused on three words, which was educate, engage, and unite. And any one of those would have been enough. All three of them sounds impossible, but, you know, we kept our focus. And I think that I feel very comfortable that's exactly where we're heading.
It's ambitious, but I think it's achievable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I got to ask you, so when you toured DC, so you might know, as Treasury of the United States, I oversaw the Bureau of Engraving and Printing and the U.S. Mint. We produce our currency and coins. I don't know if you had a chance to take any of those tours, either in DC or Philadelphia, but I got to tell you, like, that's a great example of something that we can make accessible. So, you know, when I oversaw the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, where we print our paper money, you know, we could provide floor tours. And so usually the public would have to see it in an enclosed elevated catwalk. But, you know, there were times where we had special requests and we would accommodate. And so to have these special requests specifically for kids to be able to get on the floor, to see and touch and hold, you know, millions of dollars is really kind of exciting. So that's a great example. I don't know if you had a chance to do any of those tours, but that's a great example of kind of, again, these once in a lifetime experiences that we can offer.
That is mind blowing for a little kid to stand there and see all of that around it. I didn't have the opportunity to do it with my son yet, but when I was in elementary school, we had our school tour. I think that was 7th grade, we went down to Washington, D.C., and were able to walk through the catwalk, as you mentioned. So it was a long time ago, but I still got to see it then, and it was very cool.
Excellent. Now, Tara, how old is your son?
He's 11.
Okay. And so is he aware of America's Field Trip? Is he submitting? Are you doing this with him?
We are absolutely going to do it. We haven't discussed it yet because we just haven't had the opportunity to, but 100% we will be sitting down talking through it because he loves history. He loves Revolutionary War history. He likes World War I, World War II. I mean, he is a history buff. I am a history buff. So it's something that means a lot to both of us. And we both love exploring America, as evidenced by my explaining about going up and down the Eastern Seaboard, going out to Arizona and hiking on sacred land. So we love it. Like, there's just so many parts of this country that there's just so much to see. And it's so different, you know, whether we're in New Jersey or Florida or wherever, like, everything's so different. And it's wonderful to meet people from different areas, to taste the food from different areas. It's just so eye-opening. And so anytime I have the opportunity to travel with my son, we try to. And it doesn't always have to be a big extravagant trip. Sometimes it's driving to a national park, right? Try to do it on a budget. Sometimes, like I mentioned, we took the Amtrak train down to Washington, D.C. So we tried to do it in ways that make sense, that give us the most bang for the buck and give us the most opportunities to explore. And I think many times families get hung up on thinking that trips always have to be a big budget Disney World kind of vacation or big budget Hawaii kind of vacation, but it doesn't have to be. Some of my favorite vacations have been going to Yellowstone. Now, I cannot wait to bring him to Yellowstone. We haven't yet. We've been waiting for him to get a little bit older. He's 11 now.
That's one of the options to pick from. Yes! That's one of the options.
Okay, that's what we're going to go for. But that's the thing. It's like, now he's getting to an age where he loves to travel. He loves history. He's getting right in that sweet spot where we can explore all of the national treasures, as you mentioned, and hit up the national parks that are literally in our own backyard that we haven't been to. He's never seen the Statue of Liberty, and he was born and raised in New York City.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, I mean, think about that question too. A very simple question to answer in terms of what does America mean to me? So, you know, to have that conversation with your kids, it's an important conversation. It's a very, very simple question, but also a very profound question. And out of the mouths of babes, right? Out of the mouths of our children, for them to think about this, perhaps in ways that they've never thought about before. What does it mean to be born here? Or what does it mean to not be born here? What does it mean? It means very different things to very different people, this word America, the United States of America. And so how our kids think about it, you know, especially in their formative years and what they see, what they hear, you know, what the news media says. So this exercise of kind of having that conversation, perhaps for the very first time with your kids about, you know, this great, resilient, amazing country. And, you know, when I think about this, people ask me all the time, you know, how do you know that America 250 is going to be successful? You know, and I would say there's two metrics here. There's two metrics for me. One is, you know, that our programming could be that high impact, galvanizing, unifying experience for 350 million Americans. I mean, we want this to be something for everyone. We want everyone to feel like this is as local as possible. Again, sea to shining sea. Every state has to feel like they're part of this, but also every American has to feel like they're part of this. And I think the other metric that I like to think about is, you know, I want as many Americans as possible to feel like this is the land of opportunity all over again. Right. So, you know, especially for this next generation of millennials and post-millennials, they could be a little jaded, a little cynical. You know, again, they had to live through the pandemic. I don't know how parents did it with remote learning. I mean, it's had to be very, very difficult. And so now, you know, we are very different in many ways, pre and post pandemic, and how we think about our country and more importantly, our democracy. Right. We are the world's oldest democracy. And so how we think about keeping this spirit alive and well, how we think about feeling that we really are the land of opportunity all over again, that millions of people still risk their lives to come to this great country, right? So, you know, my parents came from Mexico in 1958, and they landed in Hayward, California, in the Bay Area, because my father was a seasonal migrant worker, and there was a Hunt's tomato factory there. And so that's, you know, they decided after they got married that they were going to come and build a better life here in the United States. And they did, obviously, you know, all nine of us, my mom ended up raising all nine of us on her own. Somehow all nine of us, you know, she sent us all off to college. Wow. And, you know, here we are literally living the American dream. And so I want that fire to be felt the same way it burns in me and the same way it burns in my kids. I want everyone to feel that this is still the land of opportunity. And how do we claim our own American dream?
Yeah. You gave me chills, Rosie, telling that story. You really did. And I'll share my family's history. I am Sicilian American. My family is from Sicily, and I am the first in my family to graduate from a 4-year
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, from a 4-year institution. I went to Villanova University outside of Philadelphia. And so, and then actually my cousin went there. Now we have a legacy at Villanova. But before that, no one had graduated from college. And so I could say that. And so many times people tend not to think about Sicilian Americans in that migration story, but it was very real.
Well, and everyone has an American story, right? Yeah. Unless you're indigenous or you're forced to be here, you know, everyone has a story. And so we do think of this journey, and it is a journey, and or perhaps a journey we've never gone through as a country. It's a journey of these stories. And again, you know, and not all stories are going to be pleasant. Mm. Not all stories are going to be, the actual realization of that American dream. But for all of us, it's how do we keep, again, how do we keep, it's not just about hope. It is about kind of a realization that we as a democracy actually work. You know, as you think about these historic milestones along the way too, I mean, think about, this wasn't just about July 4th, 1776, right? This all really started in earnest with the Boston Tea Party, which, you know, that 250th milestone just passed this last December, right? And there's a whole series of activities that led to ultimately the American Revolution. And in fact, you know, this year is the 250th anniversary of the First Continental Congress. And so as you think about it that way, you know, it took two Continental Congresses in order for them, you know, for us to get it right. Right. So it's, you know, I think the story is in the struggle. The story for all of us is in the struggle, right? Even to form this amazing governance that we have today, and how we think about, again, you know, we aren't perfect. We could definitely be more perfect. That's for sure. And how do we continue to evolve as a country?
Yeah. As a mother, how do you get your children interested in civics?
Yeah, no, it's not easy. There's anyone born in the mid 90s and later grew up with the internet. And so it's no longer what you're taught at home or what you're taught in school, right? It's what you see, it's what you experience, it's what you have access to, mm-hmm. not always so great. So civics and thinking about, you know, again, our democracy, our governance, how it all works, is not exactly the first in mind for a lot of our kids. But it is obviously, you know, look, it's something very unique in terms of what we have to offer as a country, very, very unique. And you'll see, you know, our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights is quoted in a lot of other governing documents around the world. But, you know, in my case, it's a little different. So, you know, my kids were born and raised in California. And then when I, in 2008, when I became part of the Treasury Federal Reserve Transition Team, as part of the, you know, at the height of the financial crisis, I took what I thought was going to be a short-term assignment, a four-month short-term assignment. And here I am, you know.
Little did you know then.
16 years later, my fourth tour of duty, if you will. So for my kids, it was baptism by fire, right? We, you know, they, my son was a rising eighth grader. My daughter was a rising fourth grader. When I took them out of the only, you know, home they ever knew, the only friends they ever knew, and we moved to the DC area for the next 10 years after that. So theirs was immersion, complete immersion into learning about, you know, our democracy. They were able to, you know, see a Supreme Court session in progress. They were able to, you know, of course, be part of a lot of the experiences that I had as a senior Treasury official. So they were very lucky, very fortunate. And not everyone has that ability. So it's something that, you know, that we still all very much treasure and appreciate to this day. And so that is also kind of what made me think about inspiring America's Field Trip and how to actually have these immersive opportunities that never would have been available before. And I am hoping, look, I mean, we are a congressional commission. We have formed a congressional caucus, and you know, to have the ability to, you know, possibly perhaps even pass legislation for issues that we think are priorities, including civics education, that's going to make a very big difference. In fact, you know, one of the great organizations that we just partnered with is iCivics. And the reason why we chose to partner with iCivics, iCivics impacts about 9 million students a year. But you might know that iCivics was founded by Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, and Justice Sotomayor sits on the board today. So the Supreme Court is actually part of our commission. We're one of the few organizations that actually represents all three branches of government. And so to have that representation and to have Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, a Republican, Justice Sotomayor, a Democrat, come together for this common cause of civics was very meaningful to us. And so when we advanced that partnership, and in fact, our September commission meeting is going to be hosted at the Supreme Court. How exciting is that?
Oh, that's so right? Exciting.
So, isn't that exciting? So again, you know, that type of interaction, that type of three branches of government connection. I mean, we are a walking kind of curriculum, if you will, of how these three branches of government can come together, right? So we're a congressional commission, but as chair, I'm appointed by the executive branch, I'm appointed by the president. So, you know, we are working collectively together, and it's actually working really, really well. So we think that level of discourse, that level of interaction, and most importantly, that level of planning together in terms of what our programming is going to look like, not just for 2026, but beyond 2026. So, you know, we would love America's Field Trip to continue even after 2026. So, you know, the planting of these seeds is what we're doing today, but we want it to be scalable. We want it to be, you know, sustainable, and we want this to be impactful, something that continues long after 2026.
So where can students submit their entries? Where can we learn more about it?
So America250.org, that is our website. And on there, you will see a whole dedicated section to America's Field Trip. It'll talk about the criteria. We use Discovery Education, who has literally put together lesson plans for teachers and for parents to access and to use. We're also working with Probability Works, who has kind of been our kind of vetting organization. They're a kind of our contest administrator, if you will. So, you know, we want to make sure, you know, of course, I would love to pick the award recipients, but it's probably not a good idea. So again, we want to make sure that this is as credible and legitimate as possible. Again, I mentioned this is the pilot program. So for this round, we're going to have 75 award recipients. Again, we want to scale this as much as possible over time. But everything that parents need, everything that teachers need, that schools need, is on our website, America250.org. I couldn't be more excited about this particular program. It literally came to me, you know, a little bit, almost 2 years ago. So we've been working on this for a while. And think about it from our perspective. I mean, government actually works. It really does work. And in this case, we are working very, very hard to impact this next generation of leadership. And how best to do it, but by really appreciating, again, our national treasures, understanding the history behind our national treasures, right? If you think about Mount Rushmore, and that's on sacred, you know, Sioux Nation land, the Lakotas, Nakotas, and Dakotas nations are all part of that. And so it's that retrospective experience to really understand that you're not just walking through Mount Rushmore, you're walking through thousands of years of history and again, sacred territory. So that level of appreciation and gratitude and acknowledgement and recognition is really, really an important part of this process. And we think that discovering our nation all over again through these field trips is a great way to do that.
I love it. Rosie Rios, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much, Tara. This was fun. This
was
great.
Tons of fun.
I really appreciate what you're doing. Look, of all the things, you know, in my career path, I would say that the best career I've ever had was being a mother. No doubt in my mind. My son is now 27. My daughter's 23. And I couldn't be more proud of who they are and where they're going. And this is why it makes it all worthwhile in terms of what we do.
It absolutely does. Seeing the world through their eyes and through their experiences makes it all so worthwhile.
Absolutely. Shout out to Joey and Brookie.
Yay! Thanks for listening to today's episode of Modern Mom Probs. I hope you enjoyed our deep dive in today's problem with me, your host, Tara Clark. Join me next time when I'll be interviewing another great guest and tackling another modern mom problem. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review and a rating. As always, you could head over to Modern Mom Probs on Instagram and give me a follow, or check out my book, Modern Mom Probs, A Survival Guide for 21st Century Mothers, available online wherever books are sold. Well, that's it for today. See you next time, folks.